Well, good morning and welcome to the Brook Hill Church of Christ. We appreciate so much everybody being here, all our family and those that are listening live stream. Thank you so much for those from other countries and other states that continue to tune in and to be with us. We're glad that you can be with us. Continue, please, to practice our safety and health. There's 25% of our congregation is in high risk. And that means that you're susceptible to catch it. So please, wear your masks. And please keep your masks on while we're worshiping, because it's a closed-in area. And some people here, I'm one of them. I'm in the high risk. The purpose of a mask is so that you might be carrying it, you don't even know. And you're breathing on one of us who are highly susceptible. Hannah has half an immune system. And she's susceptible to a cold, let alone this. So please, help us practice these conditions and make it safe for all of us, please. Okay, we're going to ask Johnny now, if he will, to lead us in our opening prayer.
We come to you this day thanking you, Lord God, for the many blessings that you've shown us. We thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day, and we thank you for letting us know, Lord, that you are God and you are the creator of all things. We ask, dear God, for your guidance in our lives. We pray, Lord, that we would look to you and seek your wisdom. We pray that you would be with our elders and help to guide them and through this difficult time that we all face. We also ask that you might be with the leaders of our nation, that you would grant them your wisdom, your guidance, that we might get through the difficult times that as a nation we face. May you be with us each and every day, Lord God. And Lord, we ask, Lord, for your mercy upon us. We thank you, Lord God, for sending your Son on the cross so we might have hope of a home in heaven. We thank you, Lord God, for your blessings which you give us so abundantly each and every day. Lord, we ask that you would be with us, Lord, today as we come together to worship you. We pray that our worship would be acceptable and pleasing in thy sight. As we sing and as we pray and as we hear your word, Lord, may we give you the glory and the honor for all things that you do for us. Lord, we pray that we would seek to serve you, that we would seek to do your will. We pray, Lord, that we would keep you first and foremost in our thoughts, that we would strive to live lives that are pleasing and acceptable to you each and every day, and give you the glory and the honor for all things. For we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
All right, we're going to sing As the Deer.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You giver and the apple of my eye.
9:44. This will go along with Paul's lesson this morning. What shall it be? What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? The question comes to you, and you must give an answer for something you must do. What shall it be? What shall it be? What shall your answer be? What will you do with Jesus? Oh, what will your answer be? What will you do with Jesus? It comes by night and day, with pierced hands uplifted, he waits. What will you say? What shall it be? What shall it be? What shall your answer be? What will you do with Jesus? Oh, what will your answer be? What will you do with Jesus? He's knocking at the door. Refuse him so no longer, lest he should plead no more. What shall it be? What shall it be? What shall your answer be? What will you do with Jesus? Oh, what will your answer be?
Well, good morning. Good to see everybody. Appreciate everybody out. Appreciate everybody coming back. A lot of those that have not had the opportunity to be with us, you're here. We're so glad that you are. And they've got me a mic now so I can move to either side. Before, on Wednesday, if I left behind the podium, I was in trouble. So now I have a mic, I can move back and forth. When I first started preaching, I preached at College View for 2 years, and then I moved to Tampa, Florida, and preached at a congregation called Eureka Springs. And it had one row like this, and then it had two wings. And we had 40 regular members that sat here, and I had 40 college kids here and 40 college kids here. Now, the 40 wild college kids sat on this side. The ones that you just had to remind, they weren't really that bad, but you just had to remind them, they were probably out till midnight instead of 10. And over here was the good girls and boys. They had their Bibles, and they were always smiling. And I caught myself after a while. Someone said to me, Paul, how come every time you're talking about doing something bad, you're always looking at this side? And then when I say, and you know, the Lord just loves people that go to church all the time, and I go over here. So I thought about that now. So every time if I go over here, you're going to have to figure out which is the good and the bad side. I might go over here and I'll say, oh, the Covingtons need to work on that sin. Oh, and then I'll go over here and I'll say, oh, the hills are so nice, aren't they? And everybody in the middle, you won't know what's going on. But I remember doing that, and someone brought that to my attention. But it just was like, you better straighten up. Thank you guys for being so holy, you know, and that's the way it is. So maybe if you see me doing that back and forth, you'll know what I'm trying to do. But again, thank you so much. Appreciate everybody in coming in. And it's always, it's not the easiest to sing and to worship with the mask on and everything and being separated from each other. I know the hardest thing for me is to want to shake somebody's hand. I see some, hey, in fact, it's funny. You start walking, then you go like this. I ain't touching you. You know, when you come up to someone, they'll say, I just saw Jerry. I haven't seen him in a while. I'll probably walk up to Jerry. When I get close enough, I'll go, no, I ain't touching him. But you walk toward, at least walk towards someone and stop. At least they know that you're thinking about it, you know. But we appreciate so much, and it's hard on the Bible classes. Try to listen on Wednesday and maybe study on your own. And a lot of times in my articles, I try to put something where maybe you can look up some verses, and maybe that'll help you in just a little bit. But it's John Lewis's birthday today. Happy birthday to him. And Brody Cohen, it's his birthday today too. And so we're happy for all of those. Okay, please stand now for the reading. It's from Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. Matthew 26, starting in verse 25, talking about how the Lord takes care of us. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, Matthew 6, 25. What you eat or what you drink or what your body for what you shall put in it, is not life more than meat, body more than raiment? Behold, the birds of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Much better than they. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit? And why take thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Therefore, if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? And what are we going to wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that ye have need of all these things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And the congregation said, amen and amen. Please be seated. You know, life is an unending quest for answers. Answers to every question now you can think of. When you're a child, you want the answer to, why do dogs chase cats? And why is it raining? Hey, and where are we going in the car? Now, when you get into school, you're asked for answers. What's 2 + 2? Who invented the telephone? Who was the first president? And then in your teenage years, you really need some answers to your questions. Questions that get a little bit more complicated. Well, what's the explanation for gravity, you're asked in the test? And maybe, why don't I have any friends? And why didn't I make the team? And then in your adult years, you have changing and saving questions that need answers. How do I fight this disease? And what can I do to help my children? And what church is the church that Jesus built? And where do I go after I die? You see, life is made up of questions and questions that need answers. Now, some answers are definite right and wrong. 2 + 2 = 4. That's a right answer. Now, some answers vary either this way or that way. And there's really not a right and a wrong. If someone says, hey, should I wear a hat when it's really hot out? You say, yes. Now, what kind of hat? Well, you see, that varies. Well, I'm going to wear a baseball hat. I'm going to wear a sombrero. I'm going to wear a cowboy hat. It might change, but the thing is, you're going to wear a hat. And then some answers are just wrong. Hey, can I put water in my gas tank? No. Now, where do you turn to? Of course, as a Christian, with life's most perplexing and needful troubles. Today, we are in a crisis over and over. New ones coming up. We have the virus, of course. And then there's people protesting discrimination. Are there any answers to these questions? You know, we pray a lot of times for our leaders, and I think it's a good prayer. Lord, please be with our leaders. Help them to make decisions based on your truths. And I think that's a good prayer because God tells us, as you'll see, he tells us the answers to every question we have. He does. God created the heavens and the earth. He gives us all the answers. He gives us all the instructions. All we have to do is ask. And he's already given us, it's in the Bible, it's in this book, the answers. You know, when you want to get a watch repaired, where do you go? You take it to the guy at the gas station, changing tire. Hey, can you fix my watch? No, buddy, you asked me something about a car and I can do it, but I don't know nothing about a watch. The other day my refrigerator messed up, so who did I call? I tell you, I called my dentist. No, I didn't call my dentist. He probably charged me too much anyways. I called the man who does that. In fact, he said to me, we were talking about people in the congregation. I always ask, he knows lots of y'all. And I said to him, hey, do you know Sharon Gray? He said, yes. He said, I saw her the other day on top of a roof. I said, yeah, that's Sharon Gray. She's up there repairing something. But I called him because he knows. Okay, now your life is messed up. Who made your life? Who gave you the breath of life? Who put a soul in you? God. Ask God. what you need help in. You know, 2 Timothy, we've turned there many times, how the Bible says it supplies us, thoroughly furnishes us to every good work. Everything you need is in the Bible. And look what it says in Jude chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 3. Jude 3. Look what it says in Jude 3. Talking about God's Word. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you, you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto all the saints. God's Word has been delivered now. It's right here. All the answers. There's not part two. There's not part three. It's part one, and this is it. Ask questions. It's okay to ask questions. A lot of times people don't like to ask. Ask questions. That's what the Bible says a wise person does. When you're searching for the truth, you got to ask questions. Now, you might ask some godly people, you know. You might ask your Bible class teacher. You may ask somebody that's the elder, somebody that might know a little bit more about a situation. But if you want to know what God wants you to do, you ask God. And He gives you answers. It's okay to ask questions. Sometimes people think, well, if I ask a question, they're going to think I'm dumb. What's the famous thing that all teachers say? There's no what? Someone tell me. There's no dumb questions. Now, there may be some dumb answers. I remember one time when I didn't do my homework, I was giving the kids an idea. When I was just little, maybe a teenager or something, I asked, teacher used to say, why didn't you do your homework? Now, don't tell me your dog ate it. Remember like that. Don't tell me this. So what was your answer? And I heard a guy on television say it one time, so I tried it. Why don't you have your homework done? And I said, I guess I'm just dumb. Well, the teacher can't argue with that because I am, you know. She said, well, yeah. No, you're not dumb. You're just lazy or something like that. There's no wrong answers. There's better answers. Ask questions. Here's Abraham. God goes to Abraham and says, you're going to be the father of all nations. What a person. Boy, he must be a righteous person. He mustn't have very many troubles. He mustn't have any questions. I mean, God picked this. Turn to Genesis 15:8. Genesis 15:8. Remember, God's promised them now, and you, all nations, are going to be blessed. From your seed, all those things. Abraham, you're just the most special person. But look what he says in Genesis 15:8. He's told he's going to be father of all nations. He's going to inherit the land. Here's what he says. He says, Lord God, when shall I know that I inherit it? When do I know I get this land? See, he didn't understand it all. He didn't. So he asked God, God, tell me, when am I going to get this land? I understand some, but I don't understand all. How about Moses? Moses in Exodus 3. Moses is told, now Moses, I'm going to have you. You're going to go to Pharaoh, and you're going to tell him to let my people go. I'm choosing you over all the people I could choose because you're a righteous, you're a great individual. And he was. Did many great things, but you know what? He still has some questions. Look in Exodus now 3:13. Moses says unto God, behold, when I come to the children of Israel, and I say to them, the God of your father has sent me unto you, and they're going to say to me, what's your name? What shall I say unto them? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. That's what you say. Moses had a question. God, who are you? Who do I say sent me? He didn't know everything, but he wanted to. So he asked God a question, and God answered. Now turn to Acts 2. Here we go at the day of Pentecost. Do you remember the apostles start speaking in tongues? And here's an audience now of people who aren't Christians, but they're trying to be taught, and maybe a lot of them are trying to find out, what do I need to do to be a servant of the Lord? So they see people speaking in tongues, never seen it before. No different than a lot of us. We hear a new verse, huh? Baptism, what does that mean? A few moments from now, we're going to have the Lord's Supper, and those listening online, you might say, I've never seen the Lord's Supper. Well, what is it? Well, look at Acts 2, now in verse 12. They've heard the people speaking in tongues. And they all were amazed, and they were in doubt, and they said to one to another, what means this? What does this mean? These guys speaking in other languages, and I'm hearing them. They're not from my town. You see, it's okay. You had the most religious people, we would say, asking questions, Moses and Abraham. And now you have people who aren't saved, and they're saying, what is this? You see, God hears those questions, and He's going to give them answers. Because here's what God says He's going to do for us. Turn to Psalms 86:7 now. Throughout the book of Psalms, you have over and over again verses that talk about asking God, questions you have. Look at Acts 86 now and verse 7. In the day of my trouble, David says, I will call upon you and you'll answer me. Just think, God answers every question. Now, he says no, he says yes, he says maybe, he wait a while. He says lots of things to us, but he answers every one. You can't say that. As smart as your teachers are, sometimes they'll say, you know what? No one's ever asked me that before. You might have 10 kids, and all of a sudden, one kid says, how come a dog chases a cat? You never had that one before. But you've had some other ones. Never had that one. God has had every question you can ever imagine. Nothing's silly to God. Nothing's dumb to God. And when you ask Him, He said He'll answer you. Look at Psalms 91:15. Here's a great one. Psalms 91:15. Not only will He answer, He says, He'll call upon me, Psalms 91:15, and I'll answer Him, and I'll be with Him in trouble, and I'll deliver Him and honor Him. Lord, please help me during this time. Let's just say, Lord, please, somebody's is passed away, and you're in tears, and your heart's broken. Here's what the Lord said. I'm going to help you. And not only am I going to help you, I'm going to be with you. I'll be right beside you. I'll be right beside you. He's not only going to help you, He's going to be with you, and I'm going to honor you. Honor is the idea, I respect you. You know, we honor. The idea of someone comes in, you know, in royalty, you know, you bow, you show some honor. You used to get up when a woman came into the room, the men would get up to honor. That's what God said. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to stay with you. And I'm going to respect you because you're made my image. God expects us to take His answers now, even if they seem simple. Here, this is what's the problem with lots of people. The answer's too simple. Do you remember Naaman? He's told to go dip 7 times in dirty water 20 miles away. And what does he say? I brought gold. I brought silver. I thought you might ask me to maybe build an altar, do something big. And even his servant said, Naaman, if God asks you to build something big and spend lots of money, you do. He asks you to do something simple. Just walk and dip 7 times. You can do that. And when he did it, it worked. Sometimes our response should be, oh, that's so simple. I can do that. There's nothing the answers that we can't do. Hey, I thought it'd be a lot harder than that. You know, in Luke 24:22, now we're going to look at, in a minute, we'll look at some specific problems. What the Lord says, and His answer is not hard. Now, we're not saying it's not hard to, it's difficult sometimes for us to get used to doing it. But look at Luke 20, verse 22. Luke 20 and verse 22. Here they're trying to stop the Lord. Hey, if you're the king, how do we treat this other king, Caesar? Which king do we treat? That's a good question. Look what he says in verse 22. Is it lawful, Luke 20, 22, to give tribute to Caesar or no? Trying to trick him. He perceived their craftiness and he said, why are you tempting me? Give me a penny. Whose image and inscription have it? They answered, Caesar's. He said, render therefore Caesar's, things which are Caesar's, and to God, things which are God's. And they could not hold of his words before the people. And they marveled at his answer, and they held their peace. What an answer. They tried to trick him. And his answer was, does it say Caesar? Then you better render Caesar. And then render to me, what's mine? And God asks the simple questions. Like when he says, someone said, what should I do to be saved? You ready? Is it hard? Repent, be baptized for the remission of sins. That's not hard. That's not hard. My neighbor, we'll see this in a minute, my neighbor doesn't like me. What should I do? Love your neighbor. He didn't ask you to go get lots of money, work extra overtime, build them a fence, do all kind of stuff. No, just love them. God gives us simple answers. Now again, sometimes that take a while, but He gives us answers to all our questions. Now here are some everyday trials and tribulations that all of us have problems with. and he gives us an answer. But you got to humble yourselves to the answer. You got to say, Lord, please, I'm going to do, what do you want me to do? And then you listen. Marriage problems. Someone said, what should I do? God, give me an answer. Look what it says in Ephesians 5:22. Here's your answer. 5:22. Verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. Just like you submit to what the Lord says, you submit to your godly husband. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Why? Because the husband's head of the wife. Just like Christ is head of the church. Someone has that position. It's not a position of dictatorship. But wives, you listen to your husband as he follows the Lord. Now, verse 25. Husbands, you love your wives. Just like Christ loved himself, you loved his body. You love your Lord, your wife. 28. Men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. Verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular love his wife as himself. And the wife, she see that she reverences her husband. Be kind, loving, and tender-hearted to each other. That's what you do. Now, if the other one doesn't want to do it, you still have to do it. But if you both will do it, guess what? It works. It works. You talk to any couple, a loving couple, an old, someone, you know, I'm getting old, so I got to be careful. Someone who's been married 20 years plus, how do y'all get along so well? Well, we just love each other. Well, what do you do? Well, you know, we're kind, we're tender. When we have an argument, we don't go crazy. We don't raise our voice. You know, all those kind of things. That's what you do. It works. And the times when your marriage is working, that's because you're doing those things. So there's God's answer. Now, does it take time? Sure. But you had to work. But there's your answer. How about unruly children? God, please help me. I can't take my kids anymore. They're doing, they won't listen to me, they won't even listen to me. What should I do? Well, a lot of times it's too late when time they're 16 and teenagers. But he does give you answers. In Ephesians 6, where we are right now, in verse 4, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in teachings and admonition of the Lord. Start at an early age teaching them about God. God made the rainbow, he makes the birdies, all those things. Who gives you your food? God. You say a prayer. A lot of times, we have a little prayer that Brighton leads us in at supper time. And I don't know who taught it. Janitor, one of y'all taught it in class. Open and shut, and open and shut, and give it a little clap. Open and shut, and fold them in your laps. That's what she leads us in. And then we say prayer. What? Now, you say, well, that's not the most, sounds not too religious in there. It is. You know what that means? God, we're going to talk to God now. I'm not saying we're any better than others, but that's whoever taught her that, well, it was a great first time I heard, I said, that's a good one. And one time she wasn't there, so she was sleeping, and so we got ready to have supper time, and I said, okay, which prayer are we going to do? Open and shut. And Lord says, no, let's have a real one. No. We'll have another one. But still, you teach them at an early age. Bring them up. And you know what it says? That's God. Here's something that God says that a lot of people don't know. Look at Proverbs 22:15. Proverbs 22 and in verse 15. 22 and it's verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Every kid does silly things. They do silly things. That's what a kid does. How could you do that? They're just a kid. First time I ever had pretzels. Salted pretzels. They cost 5 cents. They used to be in a little box. And I got 5 cents for something. And I went to the store because I saw people eating pretzels. I said, man, they look good. Well, I took a couple pretzels. And man, they're kind of hot because of the salt. So what do you think I did? I filled up the sink with water. And I put my pretzels inside because I wanted them to cool down. And then I went back to get my pretzels, and they were just mush. And I remember crying. I'm crying. My mom said, what's the matter? I said, my pretzels, I can't eat them. They're all mushy. I don't know what happened. She goes, what'd you do? I said, I put them in water. What'd you put them in water for? Because they were hot. That's what I thought you did. Foolish. But that's what we are. We do things like that. That's why it says what? The rod of correction shall drive it from them. That's not, you're correct. You have to correct them. You can't do things when they're doing breaking rules and regulations. You can't do that things. And now when do you do it? Here's what God says, Proverbs 19:18. Don't blame God if you don't start early helping your children know right from wrong. 19:18. Chasing your son while there's hope. And let not the soul spare for his crying. While there's still hope, you got to correct them. And they're going to cry. And a lot of times they cry because they know it works. It works. In fact, I remember how many of y'all had fathers that said this. Crying? You're crying now? I'll give you what? I'll give you something to cry about. How many times did you ever hear that? If you didn't hear that growing up, I wish. I don't know who your daddy was. I'll give you something to cry about. And that's what it said. Crying, that's part of growing up. You teach them. God has an answer. Now, God says, now there's your answer. Now go and do it. It works. How about health problems? God, please give me an answer. Remember, health problems, sometimes they're hereditary. Sometimes they're passed on from your parents. And there's not a lot you can do about them. Try to control them. Worrying is at the heart of almost every health problem nowadays. Worry causes stress, loss of sleep, headaches, high blood pressure, eating disorders, stomach disorders, muscle pain, and 90% of the things you worry about never happen. So what do? You remember back in our reading in Matthew chapter 6? That was our reading a few moments ago. And God says in here, we won't go over it, but you remember what God said? What are you worrying about? You're worrying about what you're going to eat, drink, and wear. God takes care of the birds. He takes care of the flowers. Don't you think He's going to take care of you? And the answer is yes. And that's why David said, and back in the book of Psalms, I've been young and I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor begging bread. If you lose your job, anybody here, God will take care of you. If you're a faithful servant, He's going to take care of you. How will He do it? His providential way. But I tell you what, in the meantime, brothers and sisters are going to help you. You won't go without a meal. You won't go without someone take you to the doctor. There'll be people to help you. That's what Christians do. He'll take care of you. You just have to trust and obey. That's what we say. Trust and obey. Why? There's no other way. You got to eat properly for your health and exercise and be active. But all sicknesses and disease aren't going to always go away. We talked about that. Bad things happening to good people. You're going to die eventually. Your body breaks down. Somebody's heart breaks down sooner than someone else's lungs and someone else's brain. It all breaks down eventually. In your limbs. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16. Here's what it says. What's God's answer? How can I fight diseases today? He says, don't you know? 1 Corinthians 3:16, you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you. Your body's a temple. Use your body. Live as long as you can so you can teach people about me. Serve me. So eat right, exercise right, do all those things. That's your answer. That's God's answer. Take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. That's what He tells us. What about race relations? What about prejudice? People being prejudiced against one another. What about the mistreatment of others because of race, nation, color, and creed, and so forth? What's God's answer? God's answer is everybody is created in the image of God. Jesus died for everybody. He died for those that killed Him, not just for those. Some say, did He die for that guy who killed that other guy? He sure did. He even died for the guys that killed Him. Because everybody's made in His image. And here's what He says in Matthew 7:12. What's God's answer? Now, will people obey it? That's up to them. But this is what God said. What should I do? It's the golden rule, we call it. Matthew 7:12. All things whatsoever that ye should men do to you, you do to them. Do unto others as you'd have others do unto you. Treat people the same way that you want to be treated. That's what it says to do. No matter the color of their skin, no matter what nation they're from, whether what gender they are, you love them. Doesn't mean you love their activities if they're sinning, but you love them. You try to be as fair as you can to them. In Galatians 5:13, that's where we're studying now, he tells the Galatians to follow the new law. The old law has been done away, And in 5:13, notice the first thing he tells them, you're following now the new law. Here's what you do in the new law. For brethren, 5:13 of Galatians, you have been called to freedom. Only use not your freedom for the occasion of the flesh, but love, serve one another. That's what it says, help each other. God looks on everybody. No color, no race. Spiritually, he says that's the soul that needs to be saved. That's why he says in Galatians 3:20, no partiality. All those that have been raised from baptism, there's neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female. There isn't. Neither black nor white. There isn't. In God's eyes, spiritually. I was listening to a song the other day on the radio. I told Laura I was going to make a sermon about it, but I guess I'll mention it now. Maybe I will. It just happened to be a Michael Jackson song. It was almost over. And it was a song called It Doesn't Matter If You're Black or White. But in the middle of this verse, one verse said this. I never heard it. I never noticed it and I heard it. It said, he wanted to go through life not being a race. I thought that was pretty good. Let me go through life and not be a race. And to God, that's right. To God, you're not a race. When you're raised from the waters of baptism, you're not in a race, neither Jew nor Greek. Male nor female, I'll tell you what you are. You're a Christian. Christians don't have colors. Christians don't even have genders. Now, there might be certain things that genders do, and ages, and elder. A young boy can't be an elder, but the older ones, you know, men can. You just go through life. And what are you? You're just a Christian. That's God's answer. How are we going to get along? Well, treat people like you want to be treated. And then the more people who are Christians, then the more they're not going to see the differences. And they're not going to get upset. That's my brother. I'm going to love him. I'm going to try to help him. Maybe he doesn't understand. I'm going to try to teach him. But we're going to love each other like we should. Now the Lord says, now go do those things. Now we don't have time to talk about all other questions like, how about money problems? How about I don't have any friends? How about I'm lonely? How do I fight certain sins? God has answers to all those. But here's what's interesting now. God has questions for us. God, please help me. What should I do? Well, God has questions for us. Acts 22:16, Paul was asked a question by God. Really was a man asking him. Ananias, he was asking him, but it was really God asking him this. He said to Paul, Paul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins. That was a question. Are you going to get up and get baptized so you can be saved and wash away your sins? That was a question. Paul said, you know what? I'm going to do that. His answer was yes. My answer is yes, and almost probably everybody in the audience. You said yes. That's what I'm going to do. He asked you that question tonight, today. Are you going to get up and be baptized as a believer for the forgiveness of your sins? Are you? That's a question. If you want to be saved, you have to. And he also asked us this. Do you have a good conscience? Do you have a good conscience? Can you be touched by the gospel before and after you're saved? Can you? Well, most of us have already given an answer. Yes, I have a good conscience. Look at 1 Peter 3:21. When you were baptized, do you know what you're saying? God, I have a good conscience. 1 Peter 3:21. The like figure, to even baptism does now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but it's the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you're baptized, it's your conscience saying, I'm lost. I got to do something. I'm going to be baptized and have my sins washed away. Your conscience is saying, that's good. If you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins, here's your answer. You don't have a good conscience. Because a good conscience is baptized for the remission of their sins. That's the answer. And then he also asks you a question. Will you come back if you've fallen away? What do I need to do? You need to confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you. That's the answer. You see, it's not just all right to ask God questions. It's something we all have to do every day. And sometimes they get more perplexed and sometimes they're totally new. But it won't be new to God. Our last verse is Jeremiah 33, verse 7. If you don't have this underlined, underline it. Jeremiah 33 and in verse 3. 33 and verse 3. Listen to what it says about the answers you're going to get. This is a great verse. Great verse. 33 and verse 3. I'll let you turn to it because it's great. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I'll answer thee, and I'm going to show you great and mighty things which you knoweth not. Ask me, and I'm going to answer, and I'm going to show you things you won't believe that are going to happen in your life. That's what he says, but you got to ask. God's going to answer, and he's going to help you. Not always instant success. It takes time. It takes recovery. It takes slow sometimes, but progress is coming. God's answers in most cases are not complex. They're quite easy if you have a humble heart and a faithful and a loving heart. When you hear the answer from God, whatever question you might ask him, especially on whether or not you want to become a Christian or come back, you have only really one thing you can do. You've got to trust and obey, because there's no other way. That's what you have to do. And if you'll do that, God will do great and mighty, wonderful things that you never imagined he would do. And if we can help anybody in any way, won't you come right now while we stand and sing?